The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Kevin Absol.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and this is one of our news and cues episodes. We have some great cues, or questions, if you like saying the full word, and news. Oh my, Ken, we just had some late-breaking news that just broke all over the place.
I did. I'm glad you and I are actually friends, and not just podcast partners, because we are chit-chatting and catching up when this additional information broke, and we thought maybe we were going to have a lighter news week, some fun rumor speculation to talk about. We got some actual news to discuss as we lead up to November 12th, Disney Plus Day, which we are pretty sure there's going to be news coming our way. So we're going to get to all of that in just a second. Before we do that, we want to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, as always, we'll have a 4center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. But of course, that's not all, Joseph.
No, it never is. There's always more. And the more today is an offer from Insight Editions. They're a publisher of a ton of great Star Wars books. They are offering 35% off across their website if you use this specific link, insighteditions.com/discount/FC35. This week, we're recommending the Insight Editions book, Secrets of the Sith. Have you ever just wanted to see Palpatine journal his feelings? Well, then Secrets of the Sith is for you. Again, you can use this link, insighteditions.com/discount/FC35.
Use it, my friends, and learn the secrets of Sheev Palpatine's soul. Kind of. At least his perspective. Before we get to that big news, of course, we always like to catch up with Star Wars or life adventures and often how they interact. We should say we had a lot of fun over the weekend being part of the 2021 Podathon put on by the Bombad cast and Around the Galaxy. Long all-day stream. We were there during the early portion of the show talking with Scotty and Jerry from Bombad cast about Phantom Menace. And it was just part of the Star Wars adventure for me, Joseph, and perhaps for you, was just seeing a positive Star Wars community come together to do good for the Make-A-Wish Foundation and just celebrate this wild franchise that we're all part of, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a ton of fun to be. We came into the studio with you, so it was fun to just be there in person yes, with a purpose. We made a great exchange. I got a Greef Karga action figure that you had
that's right,
very kindly picked up for me.
I love having a good Star Wars friend in your life where you can just text from a Target. Do you still need Greef?
I need Star Wars Greef so bad. And now I have Star Wars Greef in plastic. That was great. And yes, it was just a thank you for the invitation from Bombad podcast. And it was great to have a really joyful conversation about the Phantom Menace.
Yeah, a lot of fun. A lot of fun indeed. Did you have any other specific Star Wars and life adventures, sir?
I had another just action figure adventure that was was fun and meaningful to me. I got an email from eBay, and it didn't start as a fun email. It was one of those like, hey, you have not logged into eBay in so long, we're just going to cancel your account unless you log back in. And normally that's like, well, I might need it for something. And I'm sure I have my old, you know, sign-in buried somewhere. Grumble. So I did that. And then I realized like there is a figure that I've been looking for that doesn't pop up on Amazon or other places that I just Google searched. So I searched eBay for it, and I found it for far less expensive than it's going other places, even in other eBay sales. And it was very funny because it was the bid deadline was coming up right when we were about to record this past Friday. So I was like, we're having our chit chat, we're getting ready. And I had to be honest with you too, of like, I know we're going to press record, but I just got to hit this bid on this Star Wars action figure. And I won the bid. The action figure's on its way. It's actually a 2-pack, and it is obviously a kind of figure that I like in general. It's around 2013, 2014. I don't remember which actual year, but it's Obi-Wan Kenobi and Maul from the Clone Wars animated series, but done kind of in the realistic style. It's a cool action figure set. But the big, significant personal thing for me is I was totally out of touch with the Clone Wars animated series at that point in my life when that action figure came out. I went to a Target in Minneapolis right before we moved to Los Angeles, And I saw this and like, oh, that's cool. And like, wait, that's kind of different looking mall. He's got some stuff going on with his waist. He looks like he's got some, you know, some big kid pants. He pulled up a little high in his waist. What's this? And I looked at the back of the figure and like, what? Maul is back? It was this action figure Wow. that let me know that Maul is back and that I really need to catch up on the Clone Wars animated series. And I was just not in a collecting space at that time. So I just like, I marveled at the figure and took a picture of it and put it down. Now that I'm back in collecting mode, I needed to have that set.
Yeah, you got to go back. You got to go back and right or wrong.
Exactly. It's never too late to go back.
No figure is ever really gone.
No figure is ever really gone. In fact, it is on its way to my apartment that is crowded with action figures, which is great. So that was my Star Wars adventure. How about you?
Well, my Star Wars adventure does involve Force Center work, but it's, and I might talk about this later on, just kind of my own rambling style and Spotlight Star Wars, because it's been a weekend, Joseph. I've been trying to finally dig in and correct the Force Center broken file saga. If people have been following us for a while, when we made the switch to Anchor back in late 2019, something went wrong with the transition. Anchor's great, whatever. We're happy to be with them, all those kind of things. But something happened, and hundreds of our 1,000 plus Force Center episodes had broken files. We don't know what happened. They don't know what happened. We went through many rounds of IT discussions, and the end result was we can't fix it. And so it's been frustrating. But I have all the files somewhere at some point in time. You had a lot of files. So finally, they're all one location. We have essentially an external hard drive that's so powerful it seems like a droid now is helping me with the stats. So I have been going back, and proud to say 2015, 2016, 2017 are all corrected. If you find one during that era that's not, just reach out and let us know, especially on Discord. But I had a lot of fun. And because of that, I had to go back and listen to bits and pieces of some of the episodes to make sure I had the right file, things like that. And other than the quality, the sound quality is different back then, different mics for me, different recording style. I've learned a lot, all those kind of things I can say as an engineer side, which I'm not born to be a sound engineer. you just got to punt the ball and realize whatever. The shows sound a little different back then, but it was also the content. And I stumbled onto some moments reflecting just a different time in my Star Wars fandom and a time that I am still excited about, which is that speculation side. What does that mean on that poster? Is that Pose? Is that her standing like Palpatine? And it turns out that might've been a little more right than we knew, but whether planned or not, all those kind of stuff. It's the Plagueis staff of it all, Joseph. And I just heard some clips of myself that I had a little cringe to it. But then again, as a creative, who doesn't cringe when you look back at old things you've done from time to time? But it's been interesting just to mark it. We've been doing Force Center now 6 years, coming up on our eighth broadcast season. And I decided to embrace it, and I'm proud of I won't say change, like I left it all behind, but just a growth and an expansion of the way in which I take in Star Wars, watch Star Wars, and talk about Star Wars. You and I have been discussing that sometimes, every now and then it comes up on the show, but it was in my face, hearing my own voice go, that's got to be Plagueis' staff. If not, why would she have it? And just a lot of those things that are on record, so I can't deny them. And again, are part of the fun and things we will continue to do. We love reading those tea leaves with all of you there, but now it's in a different spot. So I don't know. It was an unintentional reflective path for me this weekend.
I understand it. It is so important to have those moments of just seeing your own evolution, because sometimes you're aware of it in the moment, but especially if you look back over years, you're not aware of it and you just kind of remember it a certain way. I know I've had that a thing with, every once in a while, one of my plays that I wrote and performed will get picked up to somebody else in the country wants to produce it. And, you know, in the last couple of years, I've been like, it was a long time since I wrote that. So let me look at that, and going like, oh, wow. Oh, wow. I would not write that. You know what? That joke will work with a slightly different framing. So let's do that. And like those moments where you are, your memory of where you were at with the kind of evidence of where you're at are presented. Those are powerful and good. And I think evolving is good. And I so agree with you of you're celebrating your evolution of kind of how you take in Star Wars, how you look at Star Wars. But the speculation part of it will always be fun. And I look forward to quite possibly being very wrong about some of the news stories we're talking about, where I'm going to speculate today.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to speculate. So, and not to delay the news story anymore, some of you are probably coming in here to check our takes on these big news stuff. But, you know, this is what we do. This is a podcast. We love hanging out and we love connecting and talking with all of you. So that was my journey. The growth will continue, Joseph. The growth will continue, I hope. But hey, it's like if Luke Skywalker went back and looked at himself on Tatooine and been like, man, 18-year-old me didn't get it.
No, it's all such a long way from here. Yep.
It is. All right. With that, let's get into Star Wars news. And like I said, we had some stuff planned, and one of the stories was just going to be a wild rumor we were going to talk about. There's some interesting things to it. And that wild rumor, now maybe not as wild, still some of it a rumor. Let's get into this, Joseph. This began with Star Wars News Net, and we like that website. We like those folks over there, the Resistance Broadcast, the whole gang over there. Always a great source to just go to get all the Star Wars news, and they always present it, even if rumors, they present it in good fashion. So highly recommend you check out them if you don't. And they ran with the story. I say that like an old timey press. They ran with this story here. That was from this Big Screen Leaks, this Twitter account that's been going around, and they were claiming Lucasfilm has a new movie going into production in 2022, and they've kind of been developed in secrecy, clandestine project here, which, you know, a lot of things for Lucasfilm are currently being developed and we don't know. But that was this was going to be for that December 2023 release date that was slotted for Patty Jenkins' Rogue Squadron. And that the article did speculate on, hey, Patty Jenkins has been busy, workload, all those kind of things could have something to do with it. They want to get the script right. They're working with, what's that, Matthew Robinson, right? Sorry, I didn't write that part of the story down. My bad.
Yeah, that is correct.
That is correct. The rumor then goes on to say, hey, further proclaims that the project could be related to the Old Republic and that Rogue Squadron's still going strong. It just might be moved, and that this movie for this December 2023 slot was not the Feige-led movie or Taika Waititi's film, but another project. All right, Joseph, that was before we pressed record or about to. And then we usually record on Mondays, release on Tuesday. You Four Center friends know that. But as we're literally chit-chatting, how was your weekend? Oh, I had spaghetti. What did you do? IO9 put out an article, which actually connects to the source, is the Hollywood Reporter. And the Hollywood Reporter is saying that Rogue Squadron has been delayed. Not necessarily moved. It's been delayed. We have no other, hey, it's going to be in 2024. Nothing. Just it has been delayed. Sources say the producers and filmmaking team came to the realization that Jenkins' schedule and other commitments couldn't allow for the window needed to make the movie in 2022 to be released in 2023. Kind of all that's to the story. I mean, this is big. The hope is that once Jenkins fulfills her previous commitments, she'll be able to return to the project. So this is a production hold. Hold, please. This is what's going on. She's working on Wonder Woman 3. The Cleopatra feature, probably among other things. She's busy. She's one of those top of the food chain kind of directors and producers right now. And this is what kind of happens. So, Joseph, I'm going to dump all of this onto the table like a game of Scrabble. We're going to pick out letters and see what we can make of this. What do you make of this from a little bit of a distance here? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is very interesting that there's these rumbles about the movie production schedule changing, and they were just rumbles and rumors, and suddenly the rumbles burst forth like a giant news hand slumbering under the ground, and we can see the fingers. A weird metaphor, but yeah, I think I'm partially just fascinated with the process of how we get news and how we assess news and. What's a rumor? Where is it being sourced from? You know, what are the sources? Who is reporting the rumor? What are the rumor sources? And then something like this, that it seems much more concrete that it is on hold. I kind of feel like, for me, obviously, they're saying that Patty Jenkins' schedule, and that absolutely might be true. If, you know, obviously Wonder Woman is close to her heart. Things are constantly in motion over at the DC wing of our popular culture. If there's some pressure there to say, like, actually, we really want Wonder Woman moving here, right? Or if personally Patty Jenkins is like, I really want this Cleopatra movie. I want, you know, so absolutely. It could be exactly as what this article is saying, what they're, you know, the reps are clearly putting out. I also just think from the Star Wars perspective, this is, it'd be one thing if a bunch of other movies were announced, you know, and they all had rock solid dates. I think this film is special because after this massive sea change of our entertainment industry, where so much of it is now streaming, where Star Wars is going so strong on Disney Plus, this is the big come back to the theatrical event, Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like for me, if it's Patty Jenkins' side of it, it is really like, hey, I want to take a break. I'm not ready yet. But also there is that, I feel like Lucasfilm is not going to move forward with any big movie, Star Wars movie, until the script is rock solid, right?
Right.
And so there's a bit of it for me too, of like, I wonder where the script is at. You know, I wonder if, you know, they're heading into production. Is it a question of Patty Jenkins' schedule, as well as a question of, we're reading the tea leaves. Are we really happy with this script? Are we really happy with this era? Is this the right movie to say, hey, you can watch an unimaginable amount of Star Wars on your couch, but this is the reason you should come back to the theater? Or for younger people, come to the theater maybe for the first time to see Star Wars.
Right. That's actually legitimate. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know where to begin. And this is where I'm actually glad I'm not in my old day job, where I used to have to speculate on meetings I'm not a part of. Right. This is probably been something going on. Go to our badges behind the scenes. And this is not something, number one, that's been official. We always like to say, go to StarWars.com to see what's official, see what they're putting out, or, you know, see what Uncle Bob, one of them, has tweeted out. And at this point, we do trust a source like the Hollywood Reporter, and then IO9 running with it. Like, so I'm going to consider this legit. And I am someone who was really looking forward to this movie on the initial, like, oh, okay, that was okay. And then that very successful teaser of Patty Jenkins putting on the flight suit and talking about the relation to her father. And then the X-Wing, I was moved by that and was really excited to get the story. So I think more than anything, I'll start by saying this, I'm kind of bummed to hear this kind of news. If it's delayed or something happens and it's not even ever made, like, okay, I was looking forward to this, but you're so right. There's so much business to it. Let's not forget this pandemic thing that has changed a lot of things in the last couple of years, and when you can do things and how you can do things. And that could have pushed back Wonder Woman 3, Cleopatra, any of those other things Patty Jenkins and her team is working on. Could have made this a little bit more difficult. And I'd rather, if it's just a matter of it's not right at this point and we need to move it back, that's obviously what I'm always going to side on. I'm always going to do that. I think I get a little tense too, knowing some of the discussion points that I'm sure will come out of this.
Yes.
And Lucasfilm has, you know, at best an interesting track record going in this era, going back to even Josh Trank and whatever that was and on. But I personally come down the side of, I really support not just one person, but a production house, a company that knows its franchise and knows what's best for it. And not as they know better than us, but in that sense of, if they're seeing something, whether it's schedule, whether it's content, script, like you said, that's not working at this point in time, I trust that they're going to do what's right. And I'll start there on this rumor as well. You know, if it's true, I'm a little disappointed, sad, but also I'm comfortable with it.
Yeah, no, I think you're really right to go to the content, you know, of the film. What's it about? What level of excitement did we have too? Because that's, you know, just as important to talk about as fans is our tea leaf reading of, you know, the behind the scenes. Because, you know, we aren't doing this podcast because we love behind the scenes Hollywood stories. We do this podcast because we love Star Wars. Yeah. And you're so right. I'm really intrigued by so many things about Rogue Squadron. Obviously, in books and video games, the stories that just feature the pilots are something that have been just phenomenally successful for books and video games. Right. So it makes total sense to bring that focus on that little part of the big tapestry of Star Wars to the screen. And I was really thrilled for that. I love the idea of getting a movie where you really, really know every pilot. So those great dogfights are so tense because you don't want that person to blow up. You know, I feel bad for Porkins, but man, if I knew Porkins' life story, I'd be heartbroken. And that makes a Rogue Squadron to me just really fascinating. And that video that Patty Jenkins did, and knowing that she had that personal connection and her heart was in it, there's a lot in this film to really be excited about as a fan. Right. But I think it because there have been ups and downs behind the scenes, which I don't, I mean, I only care about so much because I think, you know, your measurement of whether a film is good or not personally is the film, not the articles, right?
Yeah.
Not the behind the scenes. But I also, as a fan, know that there's so much discussion of the behind the scenes and there has been a lot of turnaround behind the scenes that I really just kind of want for Lucasfilm, for Star Wars, to whatever the next thing on the big screen is, for it to just to be clean and to have there be none of this kind of distraction, right? If there's any bumps, and I have no, you know, the Star Wars News Net article from Big Screen Leaks, you know, has some reporting that the script is still being worked on. So, you know, maybe it is a thing where the script is like, ooh, are we right in the same place? And Patty Jenkins like, all right, if you want more time in the script, that's cool. I'll do Wonder Woman first. See you in a bit. You know, it could be absolutely no big deal. And I would almost prefer that than a bunch of, you know, reporting of headbutting, because I think that's, you know, going to be hard for Star Wars.
And I think you're being wonderfully honest there of just even us in our position here, Force Center, of just like, this creates a narrative, whatever does come out, you know, and if it doesn't quite, you know, win an Oscar, a hard thing for any film to do, it will be viewed as, well, you know, this and that, and so-and-so said this, and so-and-so made a bad decision. And I think we all kind of get a little tired of those narratives that come out of these kind of situations. So I'm hoping for the best too, whatever's in his place. But hey, I guess we should talk about the other side of that rumor, huh? Of what
we
might
should.
Be in his place.
Yes. Yeah.
So again, this was prior to this story. Let's be clear. Prior to this story, Star Wars News Net, I'm talking about the story today about Jenkins. Star Wars News Net ran this thing from Big Screen Leaks. I'm not too familiar with it other than this Twitter site that's been kind of whoever it is putting stuff out, and they have a good track record. Now, I don't like getting into the scoop game. I don't pay attention to it, but I also know, and Joseph, you know, people know things in this town, and sometimes people might want to take that information and use it to their advantage.
The way of it. Absolutely.
Yeah, you hear things, you've heard things in coffee shops. I mentioned recently I was at a premiere after party and someone, an extra, showed me some pictures of a project. I was like, you shouldn't be showing me that. It just happens. So when a mysterious site like this is accurate, even within a certain degree, I understand. And I don't want to disparage that. So they ran with this thing, Big Screen Leak, saying this Old Republic era story could be what's in its place, could be what's coming out in 2023, which could go into production in 2022. And I was going to ask before the second part of the story that we discussed up top about the Patty Jenkins stuff, I was going to say, Joseph, does this even sound reasonable for Lucasfilm to be like, surprise, we got a movie for you? So what do you think about that? Is that reasonable at all?
You know what? I think it is. I think it is reasonable from this perspective. It sounds like with all the different rumors and or confirmations or half confirmations that Lucasfilm wisely has had many different scripts in development in many different conversations in development. So for me, it isn't totally out of the realm of possibility of like, well, we kind of caught this cooking. We ordered this script just in case, just to explore. And then Rogue Squadron shifts for whatever reason it does. And they go, this script is actually rock solid. This team of people that is Lucasfilm and Kathleen Kennedy, you know, you read those art of books and you see that there's discussions, right?
Yeah.
You know, you read the art of Rise of Skywalker and you see, you know, Filoni weighing in, not telling JJ what to do, but like, yeah, here's my feedback, right? I mean, there's a team.
Yeah.
And if that team that I think, in my opinion, does a good job of guarding that Lucas spirit of always evolution, always trying something new, but also respect for the old and balancing it. And there's this unique cocktail that is Star Wars. If that team looked at a script for an Old Republic movie and said, yeah, actually,
yeah,
rock solid, thumbs up. We've been talking to some directors. It hasn't broken yet in any of the trades, but we've been talking to some directors. And in that world, it wouldn't surprise me. If they were announcing, yeah, we just decided to do Old Republic, we're ordering a script now, I'd be like, yeah, maybe.
Right.
But I think there is a possibility that the script is solid and they've got some directors who are interested. Then it's in a doable amount of time to hit December of 2023, I think.
Yeah, and plus these days, sometimes I forget we're not making movies back in the old days, and I'm even talking about in 90s, 80s, 70s, where you know we shot it. Now we're going to go edit it. You know, we know they were editing on set for Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
Things can get turned around a little bit faster now. So there's that. And I love what you're saying about, hey, you know, we know they're working on things. I love those cryptic tweets from even Pablo saying, hey, what you guys are going to be talking about 5 years from now, I'm working on today in my desk,
yeah.
You know, redline or something, you know, that's just the way of it. So that even kind of excites me. I personally, throwing like that logic of being in and around, and I've never produced a big major motion picture, mind you, but being around this town for 24 years now, you know, I would love if they pulled one over on all of us. Just like, surprise. It'd be real. I actually think I'd giggle with glee. But to one of the points you brought up about, hey, stuff in develop and stuff already been working. I wanted to highlight back in 2019, BuzzFeed ran with an article that screenwriter and producer Leda Kalogridis, who behind Altered Carbon, Shutter Island, Alita Battle Angel, among many other things, had been brought in, had been maybe commissioned to work on what was called then a new Old Republic era story. Those kind of things pop up all the time, and including, you know, Rian Johnson getting a trilogy. They come, they go. They flitter away like, you know, sparks from a fire. But if that's there, and that was something that was going on back then, and you know that if this story's come out in 2019, they were having conversations and things might have been worked on even before that. Similar to, by the way, they didn't wake up today and decide to move Rogue Squadron.
Right.
These are things they've probably been dealing with for a while. I mean, we even know now, going back to, you know, the Lord and Miller, Ron Howard transition, there's evidence and people saying things. I think Ron Howard even said somewhere like he was hired months before the announcement. We know this. This we know. Alden cast months before it was announced even. So all that to say, not being in these meetings again, it syncs up to, it could be a voila surprise. Then we could talk also about what it would mean if it was the Old Republic era. And the other thing I'll say, sorry, I'm rambling monologue.
No, please. We're trading rambles.
Trading rambles. We know that a remastered version of Knights of the Old Republic is coming out. And I do wonder, too, I know, and there was one tweet I saw today of there's going to be some maybe remastered shorts from the game. I saw something today on a news site. I didn't see, you know, I hadn't had coffee yet. I wonder too if there could be wires crossing, if there is some Old Republic promotional stuff coming out that could be tied to the game that just makes sense. Maybe it's a movie. But also, again, going back to this 2019 story of Leda Kalogridis, there could be more to it there too. So meat on a rumor bone, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And it might just be, no, we're waiting for a while. It might not be December 2023 at all, but this rumor excites me. Again, huge rumor caveats. I would be, as a fan, thrilled if they announced, whether it's 2023 or, you know, get into bumping around Avatar chaos. Yeah. 2024. I love that I get to say things like bumping around Avatar. Anyway, I'm so excited about Old Republic. I would be a little more concerned if they announced it was a direct adaptation of Knights of the Old Republic, because I think people have such strong feelings about it. And there's a big part of me of like, let that beloved game just be that beloved game. You have thousands of years, you know, to play in. But as I've said many times, I think Star Wars has to have this great balance of the old and new, a return to the big screen, where you have the absolute familiarity of it's a bunch of force users with lightsabers and they're having a big war. And there's just tons and tons of elbow room, four Dexter Jetster elbow rooms worth of room for any story you want to tell in that era, you know, without being limited by something else that's in development. Right.
Yeah.
So you got all this sort of familiarity and you got this room for the new with the characters, but then you have just to me, this perfect blend of the old and the new of it's force users with lightsabers, but what there are hundreds of red lightsabers, right?
Yeah.
The idea of a whole army of Sith and a whole army of Jedi is to me just that perfect, like for a casual Star Wars fan, like, wow, very familiar, but also I haven't seen that before. And then I think if you're a more engaged Star Wars fan, what that means for the philosophy of the Jedi and Sith living through that era means fresh storytelling.
Yeah, I'm going to follow you down that excited path. And I've been someone who, number one, has never played that game, not too familiar with Old Republic, read the first Bane novel. That's about as far as I got. It wasn't for lack of interest. It just was at a point in my Star Wars life, I wasn't paying attention as close. I was like, I'm good. Other things going on. And I've always said, I'm excited if Lucasfilm decides to do it in any kind of form and it's new, it's not a remastered game, but it's like, hey, we're doing this Dawn of the Jedi Order, whatever. I'd be really excited. Because any trepidation I've had about, I don't know, I have to admit, like that game, the Knights of the Republic, some of the fandom around that game, sometimes I don't know if I line up with what they take from Star Wars, right? Which doesn't mean they're wrong or I'm right or vice versa. Just means I'm not in sync sometimes with those people right. that I know in my life who are like, oh, that was a great Star Wars story. Like, I think you like evil people winning. I'm not sure. Let me check with you later. I'm excited that Star Wars, that looks would know how to, this is the right way to do it and keep that hope versus fear and hope and family and home and all those things we love about Star Wars and put it into this era. I'm excited about that. And if this is finally the time, that's why I think I would not only be excited, I would love a surprise. I would just giggle with glee.
Yeah. I think the other thing for me is whatever the next Star Wars on the big screen is, it's really entering this challenging world of a suddenly massively changed entire entertainment industry with streaming, right?
Yeah.
Disney Plus is on solid ground and they're going to have a bunch of Star Wars. Star Wars is going to clearly live happily on Disney Plus for, you know, the foreseeable future.
It's doing all right.
Yeah, doing all right. We're all excited about the announcements, all that. Yeah. So the question then of how do they produce a movie that rekindles the theatrical experience magic that is this very specific fine line of this has to feel so huge and so cinematic, like an event that you have to see on the big screen, but also has a story that feels like it's the right tone and size for the big screen. I think the upcoming challenge for lots of genre stuff is going to be, well, why is it a movie? Instead of a Disney Plus show, in this narrative is happening already right now with Eternals. I saw Eternals this weekend. I really enjoyed it. I think my wife and I are going to be discussing it on my other podcast, Obsessed. But it's got a lot of characters. So I've already started to see the think pieces bubbling up of this should have been a Disney Plus show.
Right.
So that conversation of what belongs on the big screen versus, hey, if we like these characters and there are too many of them, shouldn't we have had just more time to spend with them on the small screen?
Right.
That is such a challenge for what the next Star Wars movie is.
It's a big challenge. And I agree with a lot of ways. Like I still would, you know, if Solo had been a series and I'd have to hear less complaints about that movie because I'd be really excited. I also think, well, I don't want to say you'd agree because it's somewhat salty on my end of like, I think I hear that complaint sometimes, though it should have been a series. And I hear it from people who just don't want to engage with what's actually in the movie a little bit. It's a built-in excuse. I couldn't understand the characters. Yeah, sometimes you can do that in one or two lines. I do understand the need for wanting more. But anyways, you said something real early and I think you just kind of tied back into it now of this idea of, but what is going to get people to leave their house? That is something you have to be concerned about. And, you know, Old Republic era versus it's a fighter pilot story. I'm so excited for the idea of what Rogue Squadron could have been. But I could see that factoring into some decision-making going forward, too. Not to take anything away from anything Taika Waititi's working on, whatever Feige's working on, and other 19 films we don't know yet. Something about, you know, Lucasfilm logo slides and then up pops the Old Republic logo. You know, that's a pack up the kids, we're grabbing popcorn and going in type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And they're looking at, you know, who knows exactly what the entertainment and the box office reporting world will be like by December of 2023, if that's when the next movie is. But, you know, Star Wars already had this thing of the expectations for it are so high in terms of the opening weekend numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the doom and the gloom and this movie is not good, even if it gets good reviews, will set in immediately if it doesn't hit a huge opening weekend number. It doesn't have the elbow room. This is part of what's amazing about MCU is, yeah, a bigger return is expected, but that those estimates are open to the idea of, okay, MCU is trying something a little new, you know? I always remember that Ant-Man was heralded as a shocking success at just under $60 million opening weekend.
Right.
And I think it would be really hard for Lucasfilm to go, you know what, we're just doing a weird little experimental film.
Mm-hmm.
Don't expect it to make $200 million. I don't know how they can, you know, get that expectation there. So that there's also this pressure for it to be a opening weekend blockbuster.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's been, you know what's funny? It's been a while since we've had these kind of discussions, huh? It's kind of fun.
It is.
In fact, funny, going back to the earlier episodes of Forcetar that I've been poking through this weekend of doing those speculations. And what will Ryan's trilogy be? Who knows? Maybe this is it. Maybe he's like, I lied and told you all I was shooting a second Knives Out. No, it was the Old Republic. No, I'm kidding. But who knows? It is kind of fun. The great unknown. And with the Friday Disney Plus Day, a.k.a. Investor Day secretly part two. It's all an exciting time to maybe get some big announcements and maybe some challenging announcements and maybe some announcements that just amount to a hill of beans, though I do love beans. So
I love this news that you just broke, that Daniel Craig is playing the well-known Star Wars detective character Tan Devo from the Clone Wars on the big screen in Rian Johnson's Vibroblades Out. You cracked it wide open.
I did it. Run with it. I'm the source, everybody. A friend told me. So any final thoughts on this big story, Joseph, that we could say is probably still in development?
No, I mean, this is a part of being a Star Wars fan up to a point of there's the adventure on screen and then there's the adventure behind the screen. And this is a big adventure behind the screen.
It is. And speaking of more behind the scenes adventures, one of the stories that came out last week from Josh Horowitz's Happy, Sad, Confused podcast is Matt Smith. Hey, you know him, Doctor Who guy. He was in that Doctor Who. Joseph, ever seen that show?
He sure was. The 10th Doctor, yes.
10th Doctor. He confirmed
the 11th Doctor. 11th. What's wrong with me?
Oh, well, you've lost the trivia contest. You're out.
I have.
Yeah. And 1,000 tweet mentions went up in the sky.
Hopefully I corrected myself so fast that only one character was typed on the tweet correcting me.
Matt Smith confirmed his near involvement in Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. The Doctor Who vet and House of the Dragon star, that's coming still there, confirmed that with Josh Horowitz that he'd been approached to be in Rise of Skywalker, though we only had a few meetings, no costume tests. So it seems more than just a conversation at a coffee shop. And maybe, hey, this is something we're looking to do. But I gather from that it was in the early days, but we can come back to that. I'll get all this out of here and we'll dive in. He described the role as a big thing, transformative Star Wars story detail, and a pretty groovy thing. I'm taking those from three separate quotes there. He also said the role became obsolete as the movie continued to be developed. And he, of course, wouldn't say more about the role, but there were some internet rumor mills spinning up this week saying that the role was a possible younger version of Palpatine, maybe even specifically after he absorbed Rey and Ben's energy. Saw that going around from a lot of spots there. So, Joseph, there's a lot to discuss. And anytime it's Palpatine, our little Force Center sirens go awooga, awooga, because we love discussing all things Sheev. So, first of all, what do you just think of this confirmation in general at this point in time?
Yeah, I think this is really great because in the interview section that I watched, which is just the Star Wars thing, Matt Smith was charming as always. And I like that there was some clarity. Obviously, he said the really fascinating stuff about it was a groovy role, a transformative role. We'll talk about that. But he also really clarified, I believe he was asked pretty directly of like, well, did you shoot anything? Did you do a costume test? And he's like, no, it was just a couple meetings. And I went back and I looked at some of the various reporting of the rumors back in the day. I believe the original Matt Smith has been cast was a Variety on August 28th, 2018. Right. And then there was some more, you know, reporting that, oh, he actually did film stuff, but it wasn't used or all that. So nice at least to have some clarity on, you know, if we believe Matt Smith, the human involved, he didn't ever shoot anything. So I like that clarity. And then everything else is just kind of fun what ifs to me.
Yeah, wonderful what ifs. And yeah, addressing the actual story and back during that time, yeah, I had another job and there were some people who were absolutely convinced that he was lying about his involvement. And, you know, it came from Variety. That's again, that's not some random Twitter thing there, whether that random Twitter thing is completely accurate or not, notwithstanding. There was some meat on that bone as well. And I kind of just in terms of the confirmation, I do kind of like hearing it, just thinking like, okay, maybe we all weren't crazy. Your name was definitely mentioned at one point. And then it's also a reminder of things constantly in development that, hey, this is early on. What would you think? This is good. You're interested. Okay. Hey, by the way, we thought about it and it didn't work. So let's get to those what ifs. It could be younger Palpatine, new robe Palpatine, or it could be something completely different. Who knows? What do you think about all these what ifs?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is obviously conjecture. I think maybe, you know, could be decent conjecture that he was set to play a young Palpatine, either in a flashback or I can see the idea. This is absolute conjecture. You know, if somebody has a solid source for it, I'm not aware of it. But yeah, if there was initially a thought of, hey, we got Ian McDiarmid hanging there.
Yeah.
And a beautiful claw arm. He steals the power of the dyad and he fully refurbishes himself back to young Palpatine. And maybe initially the fight is this big, cool three-way lightsaber fight between young Palpatine and Rey and Ben. Like maybe there was an idea of let's do that in a decision not to. Maybe Matt Smith is being cheeky with the word. It was transformative.
Yeah.
You know, I think. That's and for me, that is a really fascinating what if. And in my personal opinion and my personal taste, if that was the plan, I'm really happy they didn't do it. I know some fans, even some of our listeners, wanted a bigger Palpatine action scene.
Yeah.
But for me, at the last moments of Palpatine to shift away from Ian McDiarmid, that would not have been my first choice. Mm-hmm. And I also like that battle isn't about who can do the most flips, right? Mm-hmm. I like that the sort of the battle between Rey and Palpatine is so pared down. It is so to me, visually clear of the beats are his hatred is shooting out into the galaxy and, you know, hurting people. And Rey finds the strength to rise and do exactly what a Jedi should do in their most pure form is step in between the hatred and the suffering and the people to selflessly block the hate. And just the simplicity of that battle combined with the fact that you're staying with McDiarmid, to me, that really works beautifully. Mm-hmm. And I 100% understand and agree that there are a ton of people who disagree with that. And I respect your opinion. I'm sharing mine. But I can see some people going like, oh, no, it would have been a big, you know, Phantom Menace Part 2 three-way lightsaber fight.
Yeah. So for my money, like, I hear that and I got to say like, okay, I'm listening. I'm intrigued. Okay. What would this do? What would this be? And as always, we love to ask why would that work? And I'm sure maybe they could come up with something. And if they had gone forward with it, I would have to trust that they had a reason why. But I'm like you that when I watched that film at the end, and other than just, come on. Yeah. I want to see McDiarmid doing it. you know, and it just has more meaning coming from that version of the Emperor. I understand it might be the character of Palpatine saying the same lines, but if it's any other performer saying anything to Rey about my granddaughter, anything, it carries a little less weight for me, and becomes more, more about a, you know, a threat. Oh, Palpatine's younger. He's going to live forever. We can't have, you know, da, da, da. I like the Palpatine we know, who represents everything we fear, combined with what you're talking about with Rey and Rey's journey, and that there's no other Force ghost around her. There's no one else helping her. It is her journey, her sacrifice, her finding hope within the fear, her choosing the light over the dark, love over hate. That's what it's about. And that's, I think it would have in the end, as only I could dream it up, because we don't actually see it, I think it would have distracted. Again, I'm listening. You've got me intrigued. There's something about that. Only because maybe young Palpatine burns them all is a Disney Plus series I might still want to see. And that could have got me thinking about it. So I'm not tossing it out. But like a lot of things, even with some of the other scripts we saw for episode 9, all right, you got me. You got my attention. There's some things I like. Battle of Coruscant, let's talk about it. But then at the end of the day, there's some things that I think go against the core of Star Wars and the core of what the movie was telling us. So yeah, I think, you know, I think I'm with you on that. I would have loved seeing some concept art. Maybe we still see that one.
Maybe we'll see some concept art for sure. Or they could just, you know, release the meeting that I'm sure they recorded, and that would be fine. Add some Star Wars music to it and, you know, a lightsaber in Matt Smith's hand as he sips his tea or whatever he had at the meeting. Yeah, I mean, I think there's also the possibility of maybe there is some twist in a draft of the script that we don't know about. Maybe maybe there are more substantive scenes with Rey's father, because I could also see him playing Rey's father. I understand everything he's saying with the, like, it was a big thing. It was a big story detail, transformative Star Wars story detail. Really, either he's being cheeky or he wasn't like, oh, yeah, no, I was another First Order officer, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So generally think a big thing. A fun thing for me, just as a big Doctor Who fan, is obviously I would love to see Matt Smith in it, but I ironically think his co-star from Doctor Who, Arthur Darvill, would make such a great young Palpatine. So I would be happy to see a Disney Plus show that's young Palpatine, either Matt Smith or Arthur Darvill.
Okay, I'm looking up Arthur. I'm not familiar. Okay, I just on image alone. Yeah, I like that. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Had to throw that out there for my the listeners here who are Doctor Who fans and Star Wars fans.
Fantasy casting, indeed. All right. Well, that's our look at that. There's not much more I have to say on that other than it could have been interesting. It's interesting to go back and hear on a day we're talking about rumors and news and little sprinklings of information coming out, going back to that in 2018, 2019, when Matt Smith and Rise of Skywalker was a thing.
We
were convinced for a while. It was true. I do love getting a little perspective.
Yeah, I think for me, my final thing is this is this story is one of those for me real Qui-Gon. Your focus determines your reality, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's easy for a story like this, you know, for people who didn't like Rise of Skywalker to you know, can get really excited about you know what was behind door number two.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's totally understandable. For me, the whole your focus determines your reality. When I read this story, I'm like, ooh, curious. That might have been interesting. Yeah. The thing that I choose to focus on is that Matt Smith says he's still interested in being in Star Wars. And honestly, I would much rather have Matt Smith star in the Old Republic film as a brand new character than play young Palpatine for 3.5 minutes. I focus on the positive of I want to see Matt Smith in Star Wars in a large, significant role. That's his own.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. So we'll see. And look, you know, he is Daemon Targaryen. He's going to get a lot of screen time in House of the Dragon. So if Matt Smith fans will concentrate on that, and then maybe he'll be Sheev Palpatine's great, 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 great grandfather in some other show.
Exactly.
There you go. Well, hey, what we thought was going to be a lighter news day turned into a long, robust discussion of Star Wars rumors, behind the scenes talk. And of course, as always, we'll update you. And yes, coming towards the weekend here, where this Disney Plus day, we are going to be having some Force Center coverage released on Friday, Saturday, or throughout the weekend. So stay tuned for that, as it is a week of Star Wars news. Before we get to your questions, we're going to do our Force Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Joseph, what do we have today?
We are still recommending Ronin by Emma Miko Kanden. If you enjoyed Star Wars Visions, this is inspired by one of the shorts of The Duel. So if you're interested in that, check it out.
Check it out indeed. Download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. We're going to take a break. On the other side, your questions here on Force Center. Welcome back to Force Center, the big show, the main show, the superstar destroyer of our fleet, episode 373, in an ongoing series. And part of that series is taking your questions. Joseph, what do we have today?
Yeah, we got two questions from Twitter and two from our patrons on Patreon. As always, our first Twitter question actually lines up with all the big news of the day and the upcoming news later this week. It's from Nick Field. Nick says, with Disney Plus Day approaching, do you think we'll hear about any of the Schrodinger's Loath Cat Star Wars projects? Those officially announced movies and shows we haven't heard much of since, I believe, since their announcement. Rian Johnson trilogy, Taika movie, Lando series, Rangers of the New Republic are the examples that Nick lists. This is a great question. Is Disney Plus Day is this upcoming Friday, and there's a lot of rumbles that there's going to be some new announcements and some maybe some sizzle reels for some of the projects that are coming very soon. So what do you think, Ken? Do you think that we're going to hear about any of these long lost projects?
And it's the purpose of Friday is something that I'm thinking about, too. It's like we keep saying it. I joke and call it Investor Day, but really it's not. It's Disney Plus Day. So are we thinking that any of this is going to be, you know, the Rian Johnson trilogy exclusive on Disney Plus? And I would think no. So that factors in some of my thoughts, too. So because of that, look, I'm just of the opinion now that I just don't think there is such a thing as a Rian Johnson trilogy that will ever come out. At this point, I have no reason to, I'm not pointing anything. I don't know. Right. All jokes aside, like I would love it. I'd be here for it. I just think maybe the ship has left the port. but I don't know. We'll see. So I'm going to say no on that. I feel like I'm a bookie here. Taika Waititi, maybe, but again, I'm not thinking, I'm not expecting theatrical news. Lando, I wish. Lando, I really would like to go in a little bit more on, like an update. I'm still excited about the possibility of that series happening and existing. So I think it's just a wish. And the Rangers of the New Republic, I'm in the camp as well that no, I think that's a no-go. I know there were some of those stories a while ago. Once you started digging into some of the stuff, even beyond one particular actor in the series or not, outside of that, there's enough, I think, smoke to show that the fire actually wasn't there for Rangers in the Republic. That was a weird example. Just imagine a campfire going out. That's what I think of Rangers in the Republic. So that's my thing. Rian, no. Taika, maybe, but no. Lando, I wish. And Rangers, no. So I don't know what's going to happen on Friday.
Oh, I wish we had a longer list because it's really fun to just hear you list your bets and pull that sheet and hand it over to the person behind the screen with the visor. Yeah.
Absolutely.
This is total Star Wars bookie day. I'm with you. I think, you know, Disney Plus Day is this new thing they're doing that is the second anniversary of Disney Plus. And I think the absolute focus of that is make it unthinkable for current subscribers to drop. Mm-hmm. And I think the main goal is add new subscribers. Get those of us who are invested and excited to be doing podcasts about it and talking mm-hmm. about it, which we're going to because we're fans of the actual stories, the actual characters, the actual creators. But I think the overall effect of it is somebody who's kind of on the fence and, you know, maybe watch Mandalorian season one, but hasn't re-upped to go, wait a minute, look at this Kenobi thing that's everywhere. I like that Rogue One. I got to check. And they got all these Marvel shows too. Like, I think that's the point. So I agree with you. I don't think that we're going to hear anything about the Taika movie. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to hear anything about that until the dust settles from whatever the transition is with Rogue Squadron. So I don't think we're going to hear about that for a little while. I'll come back to Ryan Johnson. I think Lando is a slim possibility, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's just a matter of, do they have more details locked down behind the scenes? Because I think if they do, they will share them as soon as possible, right? If they have a new thing to say, a new confirmed involvement, that they will absolutely share that. I think Lando is a character that they have every reason to be excited to share. So I think that's totally down to, is there anything to say?
Yeah.
If there is, I think they'll say it, even if it's just a small thing. I think Rangers of the New Republic is one of the most fascinating things, because I think it's either retooled as a Carson Teva project or it will simply quietly fade away. It is one of those two things. I think it really does come down to, this is also reading the tea leaves, right? Of how much was that a, like, hey, yeah, no, that would be fun. We could explore this Mandoverse we're building and that story we want to tell. Definitely got teed up in Mandalorian season two with Carson Teva being like, there's more going on with the Empire out here. Yeah. So if there is a sincere desire to tell that side of the story, I think that show will get retooled and it'll be out there. Or it'll be like, who said Rangers of the New Republic? And it will quietly fade away. And I kind of think we won't hear anything about it, because when there's so much to highlight, right? Kenobi and Andor right around the corner. Bad Batch season two. Obviously, a lot is going into Book of Boba Fett. Mandalorian season three. I think, you know, why would you bring up a more complex project?
Yeah. Yeah, look, I'm someone who the concept of what Rangers of the New Republic could be excites me. It's Carson Teva, you know, I'm there for that. Iden Versio, if running around like any of those characters, I was excited. Could be still excited, but I agree with what you're saying there. It'll just fade away, like when I one time launched a baseball podcast and realized I was too busy to do it. I don't know what you're all talking about. That didn't exist. It's
you
just
know that's so great, because podcasters do that all the time, right? YouTubers, we're launching a new show. Oh, we realized it didn't work. It doesn't fit into our schedule, and it just quietly goes away. I'm glad to see the streaming services embracing the model of podcasts. Where you introduce a new show and then it quietly fades away. That's hilarious.
And I would love, Billy D, Donald Glover come out. Hey, we're both playing Lando in the upcoming. Great. But you said you wanted to come back to Ryan Johnson, sir. I'm giving you the chance to come back to Ryan Johnson here.
Yeah, no, I think this is now such a dated reference, but I think the Rian Johnson trilogy is the new Guns N' Roses Chinese Democracy.
That's a dated reference? Oh.
I think so. I mean, the actual album has now actually been out for over 10 years.
The album's been out longer than the joke about it not being out, is it?
we're getting pretty close to where it's even. But yeah, for anybody who's like, what are you talking about? Are you making a political statement? No, it's a Guns N' Roses album. It was just Axl Rose worked on this forever. Depending on different things you read, it was artistic, struggles. Making the decision to make it, different financial battles of he had, owed money to this people and told the record company to put it out then. Remember, but it got to that point where it was announced and then you'd hear nothing about it, but then a song would leak and it was this album that was always going to come out. And then people were just shocked when it did eventually much, much, much later than anybody ever expected. Right. So I don't know. The Rian Johnson trilogy feels like that to me, because I kind of think the things that have been said are above board, that they asked him. He's excited. He started to dig into it a little bit, make some plans. Other things happened with Lucasfilm. They weren't ready to tee it up and give it a release date. He's got this great deal with Netflix. We're like, go make your awesome detective movies for a while. Have fun. That I feel like it's just sitting there on a shelf. And any time that Lucasfilm wants to say, hey, take that off the shelf, they will.
Yeah. Yeah. I still think it's one of history's great consolation prizes for losing out on 9. And a lot of times when you get that consolation prize at the office Christmas party, you trade it for something else you want to do. You want something more. And again, I'm somewhat a fan of Ryan overall, fan of Last Jedi. Obviously, if it happens, it happens. I'm just kind of in a zen spot, I guess. It's like me and my finances. One day it'll work out, maybe.
Yep. I'm in the same boat, I think, maybe someday. I don't think it's dead, but I don't think it's live either, much like Nick's great Schrodinger's Loth cat joke. So Those are our bookie predictions and wild opinions. We'll move on to our next question from Jacob the Hodge. Jacob says, with the news of Hayden coming back to the screen as Anakin in the Ahsoka series, possibly as a Force spirit, I began thinking of the possibility of Ewan McGregor portraying a younger version of Obi-Wan in Force spirit form. What do you guys think? Ken, what do you think about this, about Ewan as a Force ghost, Obi-Wan, given that we've all spent a lot of quality time with the Alec Guinness Force spirit of Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Yeah, so similar to the Matt Smith as young Palpatine thought or rumor, like, I'm intrigued. You've stopped me in my tracks, and I want to hear more. I really am. The Kenobi-Ahsoka relationship is obviously a little bit different than the Anakin-Ahsoka one, but they have one. They're there. They're present clearly in each other's lives and have a lot they could discuss at some point in time. So you could present it in a way that would pull me in. Now, it gets into that kind of lore canon question of when you become a Force spirit, what image are you projecting? And young Anakin, older Yoda and Obi-Wan there. And I often don't get too lost in those weeds, but I think about that one there a lot. But you could clearly do it in a way now with technology where it could be some kind of combination of it all. It could be Ewan being Alec Guinness, and that way you could present it in some way. Would not mess with the end of Return of the Jedi in any way, shape, or form. And it would also be breaking new technological, boundaries and levels of, which is part of a Star Wars tradition in its own way. So, but just the idea of Obi-Wan and Ahsoka having any kind of conversation, Force spit or otherwise, in that series, I'm intrigued with that alone, Joseph.
Yeah, in terms of the could Ahsoka and Obi-Wan speak, could Obi-Wan speak from within the Force to Ahsoka, that's really intriguing to me and great. I think, and there's lots of different ways to do that, right, between the many different voice actors who've done a great job of doing Alec Guinness, the Force spirit era Obi-Wan, or just, Ewan doing that as a voice. Mm-hmm. Once you get into the physical appearance, I do think it gets kind of complicated. Obviously, I have no idea how Alec Guinness's relatives or estate feel about any attempt to recreate him, given some of his extremely strong feelings about Star Wars. There's a possibility that I think that's a big no. And then there is, for me, the... Lucas made the big change of Anakin from Sebastian Shaw, the older, kindly man, to young Hayden Christensen, that everybody had a relationship with, particularly the people who grew up with the prequels. And I believe Lucas has said, like, yeah, no, that's when he was Last of Jedi, so he appears like that, right?
Right.
So there's some wiggle room always with Force spirits. So I think I would be interested in Ewan McGregor era Obi-Wan appearing to somebody like Ahsoka if there was a narrative or spiritual reason, if it was the idea that he is appearing to Ahsoka as she knew him. Mm. Because I do like the idea of, like, we were just sort of reconstructing. There's a great description of Qui-Gon. Kind of pulling himself back into a form that Obi-Wan would recognize to speak with him in that from a certain point of view story in the New Hope book. And I really love that idea. So I could possibly get behind if it was done well, which I trust it would be, of Ewan McGregor era Obi-Wan appearing to Ahsoka because that is how she knows him, I could be in with that if that's how she remembered him. I think I'm ultimately more interested in, I'd be fine with just a voice because I'm ultimately more interested in just the relationship than, I feel incredibly lucky and satiated that Ewan McGregor is going to be playing Obi-Wan in the flesh in his own show. So I don't super need to see him in spirit form.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I'm right there with you on that.
Yeah. Great question, Jacob. We're going to move on to our patrons from Patreon. This comes to us from Will Dixon. This is a response to something that we've discussed a couple times on Force Center. We got so many great questions from patrons on Patreon the last time I put out a call that sometimes when they're referring to something we said recently, it is something we said months ago. So that's the deal with Will's story. It is a little bit of a longer story, which we embrace to set up the question. So buckle up, sit back, and enjoy. Here we go. Recently, there was a Force Center discussion that touched on the ease with which Star Wars fans embrace the villains and the curious fact that not only do we love them, but we also use them as sources of comfort along with the heroes. Darth Vader bedsheets, Darth blanket, Sith plushies, backpacks and lunchboxes promoting genocidal evildoers, a Kylo Ren bike. All great examples from Will. Will continues. I was thinking how curious this phenomenon is when I realized I had done it too. My son started at a new school in the move from pre-K to kindergarten. He was anxious about it and was having a lot of trouble adjusting in the beginning, so I was scrambling for an idea that would give him some comfort. I decided I would give him some sort of item to take with him daily so he could feel connected to us when he needed to. Collectors will probably want my head for this, but I took the commemorative coins that had come with my Darth Malak and Darth Revan figures from Knights of the Old Republic and let him pick one each morning. He would take one to school, and I would take the other one to work. That way, if he was feeling anxious, he could reach into his pocket and tightly grip the Sith Lord of his choice and know that his father was out there with the other Sith Lord and that they were connected. This worked like a charm. My wife was impressed with my quick thinking. I was relieved that it did the trick, and I owe it all to the supreme evil in the universe for coming through as a source of comfort to a kindergartner in need. We kept this tradition going until he no longer needed the crutch, but I'm sure I'll give him one when he heads off to college someday. I suppose in my head I was just thinking, a Star Wars item will do without truly considering which Star Wars item. So do you think it's as simple as that? If the item says Star Wars, then it's the overall feeling generated by a relationship to the saga and not necessarily the particulars of what the character is doing, the representing. I mean, clearly, my then 5-year-old was not frightened by the bad guys at all, and I did not hesitate to place notions of faith, trust, love, and connection in the hands of Darth Malak and Revan. What the hell? Well-written story, yeah. and just a great real-life insight into an actual parenting experience where comfort comes from the dark side. So let's get into this, Ken. What are your thoughts on this story and how it represents this interesting relationship that we have with comfort and evil when it comes to Star Wars?
Look, I'm qualified to talk about this one because I'm known for wearing that Imperial insignia baseball cap. and I talked recently on the show how I finally switched that. I still own it, wear it occasionally, but for the most part, including on stand-up comedy appearances on stage, I wear the one with the Rebel insignia now. And we talked a little bit about that change. We can come back to that in a second. So I think that there's something to that. And also my collection of Star Wars figures is ripe with just a ton of Vader figures hanging on the vines. You can just pluck them. and that was even during an era where I wasn't watching and talking about Star Wars, certainly professionally, but also not collecting as much. But if I was in a store and I swung by and there was a new Vader from like 05 or 07 or 2010 or 11, I bought it. I have a ton of them because I like Vader in a way, right? And there's some great comfort in that of just what Star Wars means. And I think Will's talking about that. I'm fascinated by someone using essentially the rule of two to comfort a child. And look, if it works, it works. Because I think we will eventually, if Will's son stays with Star Wars and carries around and collects like, you know, if Will's kid is like 25, he's like, oh, I collect Revan and Mallet because my dad did this. I still think that is great value. But I think he would grow to learn the lessons around it. And I think that's something you and I would talk about, even talked about up top of the show. Like, I don't wear that Imperial insignia because it might represent things in the real world to people now that would question me on it. Where in the old days, and you had brought it up when I first mentioned on the podcast, of like, in the old days, that just meant you like Star Wars. And that's still, I don't align myself with the Empire, but I just like Star Wars and thought the Empire had the cooler toys. And at one point Star Wars asked me to step forward and grow a little bit. And I think of Carl Weathers in that special. I love when he talks about how the things Star Wars was telling me in my 20s that I probably needed to hear, I didn't hear, and I wasn't ready yet. And Star Wars is always kind of there for you. And I think this is kind of that example of this is a great story, Will. And yeah, it's okay to take comfort in that because eventually maybe you'll take comfort in other things in Star Wars.
Yeah, absolutely. I really agree with everything you're saying, Ken, and the journey you went on with your cap. But this story from Will is so great because I think it is, especially for the age of a kindergartner, I think it is in some ways as direct as what Will is suggesting, that even the bad guys, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, Rey or, you know, 2BB2 or Vader or Palpatine, it's this idea of getting comfort from something that's a symbol of Star Wars. Even the bad guys are a symbol of Star Wars, particularly when you're young. You know, they're just a symbol of something fun and exciting and otherworldly. And, you know, I don't have a ton of, I'm not a parent, and I have not been a child for a very long time. Maybe some would debate me on this emotionally. But, you know, when I went to school, I remember feeling that, like, the real world could feel harsh and cold and boring and scary. And then when I could go home and I could look at trading cards or a storybook or a board game with Star Wars, it was like this, there's something fun and exciting and otherworldly. And it, you know, it fired my imagination and I felt better, you know, I just felt better when I was looking at and thinking about Star Wars. And I even had some times as a kid where I was frightened of Darth Vader, where we'd go to a Star Wars thing and I'd be like, I want to go, but is Darth Vader going to be there? Like I was scared. But if my dad had said, here, I drew you a Darth Vader picture, keep it folded in your pocket, it would have absolutely had the same effect that Will is describing. It would have been comfort, not fear, even though I was scared of him.
Right.
And there is, we've talked about this. I've asked different parents about it on podcasts, off of podcasts. Star Wars has this magic where the even the very evil characters are kind of safe. We could be scared of them in the story. We can analyze them and say, let's not, once you get to be an adult or even a teen, don't align with them philosophically. They're the bad guys for a reason. But they're just a safe place to play. And sometimes wonder if the ease of that is because of this weird tension of what Star Wars is. We've been talking about this a lot. Star Wars is both like very deep and mythic. It's didactic. George Lucas means it to teach you things. He wants you, and he has said in interviews, Darth Vader's story is sad. You should not want to be Darth Vader. You should not disappear into the fantasy that your anger gives you power. It will just leave you alone and sad, right? It's a deep mythic side. But then it's also Star Wars. It's so important to Star Wars that it's fun and silly too, right? I have a ton of Palpatine stuff and I love Palpatine. And from a moral perspective, he is the lesson of what absolutely not to be. He's a cruel, scary monster who does horrific things, who says scary things. You know, you like your father are now mine. It's scary. But the way he's presented, he's also like this scenery chewing evil wizard from a British panto. He's delightfully over the top at the same time. And I think that balance maybe gives some safety to the bad guys of even when, like Darth Malak and Darth Revan, they're cool bad, right?
Yeah.
They're awesome. But they're also within this world that is so fantastic and has such a sense of fun to it that it softens it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, who doesn't take joy at a Palpatine in your pocket, you know? Palpatine figure in your jacket gets you through a business meeting.
Absolutely. I'm going to go around next stressful thing I have to do in the world. I'm going to have a Palpatine in my pocket. Yeah.
No, yeah. Well said stuff there. I taking it all in here. I think it could be worse than your son taking solace in Sith. You could be dealing with what Jennifer Landa has dealt with, where her older daughter loves Jar Jar, where that challenged Jen. It made her grow as a Star Wars fan. Jar Jar, never one of her favorite characters, loves Ahmed best, loved what his story. But that was, she had a moment with that. She talked about it on the show. She's talked about it on Twitter and TikTok. So, could be that. Could be a character that challenges you. And maybe that's a good thing. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for me, at the end of the day, as long as people, you know, do go through some sense of examination when they're older about, do I think Darth Vader actually had it right? I would personally be troubled by that.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I just kind of think it's great that Star Wars has this weird special magic where the bad guys are safe. It's a safe place for young people to play with the ideas of evil and have all of their Sith bedsheets. I think that's great and weird.
It's again, black and red is a nice color scheme. It's a good, you know it, Joseph. You deploy that color scheme a lot, and I like that too. So that's sometimes it. The Rebels got some drab camo sometimes, a little different look. Resistance as well. So hey, sometimes it's that too.
That's right. Yes, me and Darth Maul shake hands on our general color palette for going out in the world, for sure. Great question, great story. Thank you, Will. We'll move on to our final question from Joshua Thorne. Joshua says, if you could show someone who has never seen a Star Wars movie a scene, what would it be?
Yeah.
That's big. Where do you go with this, Ken?
This is really big. When I saw this question come across, I decided to put a couple choices and go with my gut. I want to answer the throne room from Return of the Jedi, because it's maybe, including with the, intercut with the Battle of Endor and everything, that makes it even bigger. But just if you're to do a supercut of the throne room, that's still like my favorite scene and sequence in Star Wars, right?
Wow. Yeah.
But here's the thing. Joseph, I think I might show the New Hope trench run.
Wow. That is thrilling, high stakes stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's a lot there of the Force and listening to the Space Ghost in your ear and Han returning, the tension, the excitement, and if someone's never seen it and wants to know what Star Wars is about, that might be the scene. Which is interesting because I'm thinking about there was a random episode I was on of the old movie debate show I used to be a part of, but they brought me back as a guest. And I think I debated Dan Merle on this very question, and I defended the throne room, and I think I lost the argument to his trench run choice. So maybe I've learned from that defeat.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you get into do you want to have spoilers? Because it's the idea to hook people, that kind of thing, which I guess both the trench run and the throne room are spoilers. I think they're both great ideas. I think the throne room is really powerful because it speaks about family. It's one of the greatest examples of walking to the edge of giving into hate and having the strength to go, whoops, nope.
Yeah.
Very powerful. Do you have more?
No, I went to those two. I was going to be cheeky and say the pod race, but that's not the answer. It's not my answer. Those are the answers.
Yeah. I think for me, the first thing I would do is, in this scenario, see if I could ask the person questions first, because I would want to understand where they're coming from, and what other things they like, and then find the right Star Wars scene for that person. If I couldn't do that and I just had to do it blind, if that was the challenge, I have three options again.
Yeah.
I would try Obi-Wan's Hutt of Exposition. I don't think that necessarily works for everyone, because maybe it's, getting a little bit dated, all that kind of thing. It just in terms of technology and the look of it, because I've certainly known people in my life who are like, that's old. I won't watch it.
Yeah.
But if that's their challenge with Star Wars, it's going to be a big challenge. But yeah, that the scene of Obi-Wan realizing this kid doesn't even know what the Force is, but here are the absolute basics. And like, that is the scene that ignited a billion imaginations about a lightsaber,
right?
And that, like, just that amazing feeling of like, I gotta do chores. What? I have a legacy. You gave me a cool weapon and you want me to come with you? Like, that's so thrilling.
Yeah.
That makes you want to go on the adventure.
That's good. That's good.
Joshua asked scene, so I'm cheating here a little bit. I might also just try all of season one, episode two of The Mandalorian, The Child.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've smudged a little bit with sequence more than even one scene, so I think you're okay there, but yeah.
Yeah, because I think that a big power of that is, even when you're an all-in Star Wars fan and you've seen the first episode, we still don't know Din very well at all. Mm-hmm. We don't even know that's his name, right? And just, there's so much about that that story that is so relatable about just this guy who thinks his life is going to be one thing and he's having a hell of a time, just like picked up the kid and I'm trying to take him someplace. And then everything changes because of this kid in this one episode, you know? Yeah. That's so powerful. Final one for me is Rey's intro in The Force Awakens.
Ooh, yeah. I love that. Yeah.
Great, amazing music. You don't need to know anything about Star Wars. Obviously, he has more power if you recognize that's an AT-AT or AT-AT.
Yeah.
But you don't need to know anything about Star Wars. You just see somebody kind of going through this drudgery and this, you know, beautiful but also sad place, scraping to get by, the cool bread. And then you don't need to know what that helmet is to know that's a kid dreaming, right?
Yeah.
You don't even need to know what she's waiting for. You know that feeling of marking off days on the wall, what that's about. It's such a beautiful sequence, and I think it's a sequence that makes you want to go, what is all of this about?
Yeah. Oh, the music, everything about it, yeah. I mean, yeah. It had that effect on me and watching The Force Awakens.
It really did. It really did. So any other thoughts on that one, Ken?
No, great question, Joshua. Great question. What is Star Wars? And that answer is, there's a lot to that answer. Sometimes it might be my mood, but love it.
Yeah, yeah. It changes a lot over time. Well, thank you to Joshua, to Will, to Jacob, and to Nick for the questions. That's it for the questions, Ken.
That's it for the questions, and that is it for us on this big news edition. Hey, we love having some of these spicy hot take news stories to talk about here. Kind of fun. You can find us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram, YouTube as well. As always, those things are sometimes a little off and on in terms of what we get out there, but don't worry, stuff coming on the way there. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. Podcast is available in a lot of different spots. Just search. But you can go to the classics like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Amazon Music, and Spotify. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. You can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. Always love having new Force Center friends pop in and get into our Discord where you can discuss things like the character of the week. This week's character of the week is Bucket from Star Wars Resistance. So we're in there talking about that character. As always, you can find me at Ken Napsok or go to my website, kennapsok.com. Have upcoming comedy dates. From there, you can listen to my radio show on Mixcloud called Pop Rockin' Radio and all the other things I've got going on. As always, I'd like to highlight some real world things. I've been highlighting bethematch.org, which is for if you want to become a bone marrow donor. In fact, the reason I became one, someone in that family that got me to do it on a drive about 15 years ago, they actually lost their husband, and it's kind of all in that. It can be sad, it can be tragic, which is why it's important to maybe become a donor so you can be a match with someone and help and change their lives. So go to bethematch.org for more. Joseph, you.
Yeah, you can find me Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for links to all the other stuff I do and have done and will do in the future. That's at josephscrimshaw.com. And for the thing I'd like to plug, I would like to continue to support ResistBot. It's a service available lots of places, social media. You can just type into the old Google box, ResistBot, and it's a service that helps you write letters to your elected officials at all levels. It's extremely fast. They handle sending everything. So it is a great way for you to let your reps know what is important to you about specific issues of the day. And it really does make a difference to get those reps hearing from a lot of people. And ResistBot makes it super fast and super easy. I use it all the time.
There you go, folks. There you go. So that's it for this week. For the Old Republic, for Matt Smith, for all the rumors that might one day become fact. We'll see you next time here on Force Center.